hold you long. We know that it is a busy day for some. And so we just trust and pray that God shall be God all day long. And we, if we allow him to lead and direct our paths, we will find that things will work out for our good. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to share with you from the book of the prophet Amos, the 5th chapter, the 21st through the 24th verses that studied in your Sunday school lesson this morning. Prophet Amos, chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, the Bible reads, I hate, I despise your feasts, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Supporting scriptures this morning, first of all, coming from Revelation 3, 15 and 16. The Bible reads, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 16 and 17 that you've already heard in your hearing this morning. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. God expects more than a form or fashion in our worship. God expects more than a form or fashion in our worship. So God expects more from us than just a form and a fashion. As I read that lesson, and the more I read it, the more that came to me that we, too many times, and we get up and we testify on many occasions, but we're not here on form or fashion. And yet we're still just going through the motions. You see, we always know the proper words. I wouldn't say always, because there's many times when I can say stuff and jack it up. But there are times when we know the right thing to say, but because you say it, it does not necessarily mean you mean what you say. There are those of us that interact with people, and people will tell you what they know you want to hear. And in that way, they will keep you somewhere close at hand so that you will have more of an attentive ear to what they have to say, because most of the time they're just stroking you. So you got to watch those strokers. You got to watch those that, you know, they realize that all of us got situations, all of us got needs, and every now and again we'll look at a situation and we put one and one and we put two together and we kind of get in the middle of it and see, where is this really coming from? But we got to understand that it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the mere fact that we are here at Fowl's Chapel. There are people all over the land this morning in all different denominations talking and lifting up the mighty name of Jesus in worship and in praise. And so we don't have the authority, or we don't have the right to say that the only person or the only people that's having a hallelujah good time is right here. I believe that my brothers and sisters all over the land are lifting up the name of Jesus. But I do know that they need to be in the same position that we're in this morning to know that God expects more than just a form or a fashion. It is only by his grace and his mercy. He's allowed us another day to be here to give him praise and thanksgiving because he is a loving God. God loved us so much that he sustained us through another week's journey. And I know that there are those that have been calling on him in prayer, not only for yourselves, but praying for others that God would strengthen them. And when you call on the Lord your God in prayer, you got to believe and have unwavering faith. Trust in the power of a mighty God. And, you know, we got to understand that if we trust God, then we got to trust God. We can't trust what goes on in our mind because we don't understand. We don't understand many times why we are going through. We don't understand sometimes why God is so loving and merciful and compassionate that he, as we say, look beyond my faults and saw my needs. Are there any people in here that have ever made that statement, God, look beyond my faults? Is there anybody in here honest enough to say that I know that in my life I got some flaws, I got some things that I need to do a little bit better, I need a little closer walk with God, I need a better understanding of the word of God because sometimes I don't know exactly what to do and I go to God in prayer but I get impatient and I try to work it out myself. And anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You got good intentions and you want to do the right thing but you just sort of step out too fast. Every now and again, you just gotta be still and let God be God. Anybody wanna let God be God this morning? See, when we say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, then we ought to act like we're glad to be in here. If you're glad to be here, you ought to act like you're glad. When you're happy about something, you'll show some kind of sign. We were taught that when we were little children. You're happy and you know it, clap your hand. And we don't even clap no more. But there's going to come a time you're going to want to clap. And Arthur ain't going to let them hands come together. So you better move what you got while you can move it. We are here for the sole purpose of exalting the name of Jesus. We say the words, we come in to worship, and we leave to serve. But what is the true nature of our worship? Is our worship to the glory of God, or do we worry about what others think about what we do? See, there are some of us that are so concerned about what everybody else thinks that you miss your blessing. You're concentrated on it. Am I going to hit this note right? Because if I crack, somebody's going to laugh or somebody's going to talk about me. But you got to do the best you can while you can. There are those of us, there are biblical scholars in the house of worship, and sometimes they'll critique the preacher, and they want you to say it this way or say it that way. I gotta say it the way God give it to me, but I cannot change the way it is in the book. So if you know the book, then you gotta understand that there are times that you see it one way, I might see it another way, but we can't change the way God has intended for it to be for all of God's people. So we got to understand that it's a time that we must let God be God all by himself. We got to stop worrying about what other people thinking and trying to please everybody else. Every praise that we have should be to our God. Our praises should be to God because I find God to be a savior, a healer, and a deliverer. And all that I know is that God has blessed each and every one of us. Allowed us another opportunity to assemble in this place. And every week when we come in here, we join our forces together and our voices together in praise and worship to God because of who he is and all that he has done for us. But when out of all of our preaching and singing and testimonies and running, shouting, crying, and even all of the prophesizing, the most important question, is God pleased with those things that we are doing? Are we singing to glorify God, or are we singing to entertain folk? See, when you're singing to glorify God, you're not so concerned about what it sounds like. Because to God, it sounds mighty sweet if it's sincere from here. But when you want to entertain folk, you want the beat to be right. You want your movement to be right. You want everybody to be on one accord. But every now and again, things are just not going to go the way that you think that they ought to go. But just because you miss a note somewhere, that don't mean that God's not going to bless, because it's not in the notes. It's in the words of the song. You got to know that every song is a message. So why do we not listen to the message that God is sending us even through song? We listen for the beat. And if the beat's right, we'll stomp our feet. But if the beat's not right, we just look at one another. Now, there's some folk don't like them slow, easy songs, because it doesn't have a beat that you can get with. But every now and again, you just need to hear what God is saying through the words of the song. We sang this morning, "No, Not One." There's a lot in that hymn. There's nobody like God. No, not one. And whether they sang it cracked up or not, there's no one like God. We have to understand that it's about the service that we give, and then the motive and the nature in which we give it. I know this morning that we are accustomed to receiving our printed program. And as we look at the program, there's an outline of how we intend for this service to flow. And as we continue to look at the outline of the service, right here in Faust Chapel, we found out and we find that we have our own way of doing things. We collect our tithes and our offerings in our very own way. Our ushers, they come out, and just before the pre-message text, they come and they stand, because that's the way we do it here. So now we've come accustomed to following the program and doing those things that supposedly supposed to come up next. There are times that when we get ready to preach God's word, and after God's word has been preached, I preach and you witness, and then it's time for the invitation. And when I give an invitation of discipleship, the deacons come and they stand there with a hand ready to welcome you in to the house of the Lord. Because that's the way we do things here. But now, we got to understand that when you go to somebody else's house of faith, they may do things a little different than the way we do it here. But now, does that mean that their way is not right, or is our way better than their way? We have to understand that when it comes to denominations and different churches, we all just got a different way of doing things, but we are serving and praising the same God. So we got to understand that every now and again, there might come a time that we can't go by the printed program. What happens when something is injected by the Spirit of God? That comes a time sometime that God's Spirit began to move, and I learned to go with the flow of the Spirit instead of being worried about trying to stick to the printed program. Now, I can recall one occasion that the Spirit of God got to moving a little bit early, and I was ready to preach right then. I, even though the pre-match selection had not been given, I was ready. So when God get it ready, I learned that you got to move. Now that individual that was scheduled to sing that pre-match selection, they was ready too. But we have to give reverence to God, to God's word, and to the Spirit of God. Don't get caught up in what you do and the policies of the way you do, and it's just got to fall like this or that, because that's doing things like a form or a fashion. That's just going through the motions. Time for the choir to sing, so the choir sing. Is anybody getting anything from it? First of all, you ought to get something. Because if you are singing and you're not feeling nothing, how do you think somebody else going to feel it? And when I say feel it, I don't mean you got to shout. I don't mean you got to cry. You don't have to run out of the choir stand. But you ought to feel something moving down on the inside. You ought to feel something moving to make you feel like, I want to sing a little bit more of this. And not because I'm entertaining nobody, but because I feel it ministering to my soul. And when I feel it ministering to my soul, it's going to jump out of my breast and jump in Sister Daisy. We got to know this morning that there comes a time that the Bible teaches us it is better to obey God rather than man. Let us be led and governed by the Spirit of Almighty God. Let us pray that God will fill our hearts with love and a desire to praise him and to lift up his holy and righteous name. We learned this morning in the Sunday school lesson that God is not food. He understands, he knows the real sense of our devotion and adoration for him. And God wants us to be real. God wants us to not just go through the motions. We want to get to heaven, and we think that when we find out that somebody died and we began to say, well, the Lord needed another angel. God got plenty of angels. Stop trying to fix everything. The prophet Amos, he began to talk to the people of God. As he talked to the people of God, he wanted them to understand that they needed to cleanse their hands with righteousness so that there would be the right type of worship, that their worship would be holy and not hypocritical. You see, when you just go through the motions, when you just do it just the sake of doing it instead of having a true desire to mean what you say or what you do for God. There are those of us that say that we love God. But now, if you love God, every now and again, you ought to feel something. Every now and again, something ought to touch your heart or touch your mind, or something ought to make a light spring in your head that I want to be just a little closer to the Lord. Now, as the pointing text in Revelation tells us that I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So Jesus is saying, I already know about your work. I know the things that you do. I know that there are times that you ought to be hot or cold. You got to make up your mind. In other words, the Lord is God is saying, you got to make your mind up what side you're going to be on and how you're going to act. There are those of us that come into the house of God and we begin to talk about God's church houses, saying that that's a dry church. And I don't want to go to a dry church where nothing is going on. Well, if you allow yourself to be dry, then you're going to be dry. That individual beside you might be dry. That individual beside you might not be on fire for the Lord, but that shouldn't put your flame out. Bible declares here that I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. But God said, I wish that you were either one or the other. So then, because you are lukewarm, I don't like lukewarm Christians. I need to know that you're cold or hot, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out my mouth. In other words, God said, I'm going to barbecue up. Lukewarm folk are those folk that straddle the fence. They don't know what side they want to get on. One minute you're hot for the Lord, the next minute you're so cold, can't nobody move you. Now, sometimes it's easier to reach a cold unbeliever than to stir up a lukewarm Christian. Because if I believe, at least they got the ears open. If I believe, at least want to hear something that's going to have to try to change their mind. But that lukewarm Christian come into God's house, already got their mind made up. I'm sitting here this morning, been not nobody saying nothing to me. What if all of us just sit and look at one another? Why didn't nobody never have no spirit, no joy, no power? Don't you know I found out I don't have to be up there to talk about God? I can talk about God right here by Leslie. I can get hot for God right here. And at the same time, I can be so cold as, you know how those of us that can't hardly make it through the service. You ought to get your rest at home. Is God pleased with you sleeping in his house? I ain't all that, but I'm not boring. I got a big enough mouth that I can holler you up. God wants us to make up our mind and realize that we need to be about doing things in the right form or fashion, and that's to do it to the glory of God. We got to understand that God does not like it when we do things any kind of way. We found out that even in that particular area, the mineral streams in that particular region, they had hot water for therapy, cold water for refreshing, but lukewarm water make you sick on your stomach. Only those that with conditions want their water warm. If you don't have a condition, you want some good, cool, refreshing water. Pepsi and Coke could go out of business. Some of y'all start drinking water. Water help you live. Water. Everybody needs a little bit of water. And we do have those kind of funny kind of folk. They got to have some that high C color. So I ain't drinking water. I'm drinking Kool-Aid, but you drinking water. Just colored water. How many of you know you need just a little bit of water every now and again? You don't get no water, your body going to dry up. You don't get no water, you're going to be down at the hospital. You don't get no water, they're going to be pumping fluids in your body. So you got to learn how to make yourself do what you ought to do. You got to learn how to trust God, that God will give you everything that you need. So you got to understand that God wants you to stop going through the motions. God wants you to stop acting like it's all about you. God wants you to know this morning that he is a mighty God. So now as we journey through our text this morning, we find that God had this pleasure because of the people of promise. You see, the children of Israel had been blessed by God over and over again. But because they had been sinful and disobedient, they had began to serve idol gods. And there were times that God had to discipline them. You see, we got to understand that when God said that he's going to do something, we can count it and take it to the bank. We got to understand when the Bible declared the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Then when we die, we got to go to judgment, and you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. There's no way around it. There are a whole lot of folk that thought that the God of the Old Testament was a vengeance God, because God always came and allowed others to come, and he began to let them know that you're not going to get away. I'm going to persecute you because of the wrong that you've done. Now, what we got to understand is that he always gave them an opportunity to do the right thing, but they always did their own thing. And how many of you remember that a lot of times when they got themselves in their mess, they were just like we are this morning. When you get in a mess and you don't know where else to go. How many of you know that's when you can say, oh Lord, have mercy on me. And that's why the children of Israel always began to say, Lord, I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done. And that's why God always allows some of them to get by.
But when we look through the back days of history, we find out that the persecution brought drought, disease, and then we got to understand that there were times when they just was overtaken and caught into captivity. We got to understand that God wants us to follow instructions. He wants us to know that he wants us to repent. If you repent of your wrongdoings, if you learn to do what God would have you to do, our text tells us that God wants us to seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of your host, shall be with you. The prophet Amos realized that I got a job on my hand. I got to tell these people of God the business of my Lord, that God is tired of them going through the motion. You see, a lot of times you better be careful what you ask for. When you want a little authority, where much is given, much is required. So you got to learn that there's a time that you got to say some things sometime in leadership that you might not want to say. But when I look here at the word of this prophet, the prophet began to tell the people of God that God wants you to look for the good and not the evil. God wants you to live and not die. God wants you to hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. So in other words, we got to understand tonight, this morning, that every now and again, there's going to come a time that you got to trust the power of God. There's going to come a time when there's going to be a whole lot of folk that's going to be lost. But I thank God for the small remnant that will be left. God always got a few folk that believe in the power of a loving God. God always got somebody that'll trust God with everything that they got. So don't worry about what nobody else say. Don't worry about the naysayers. If you got a praise on your lips, if you got joy in your heart, don't allow your neighbor to make you sit down. Quench not the spirit of the Almighty God. God wants somebody that's going to love him. God wants somebody that's going to trust him. God wants somebody that's going to be real. But I come to tell somebody this morning that the Lord God said through the words of Amos, that the Lord God will hate your praise. He will despise your feast days. He will not smell in your solemn assembly. Though you offer up burnt offerings and you offer your meat offering, you give your tithes and your offering, if you're just doing it for a form or a fashion, God is not pleased. The Bible said, take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear your melody. If you're singing just to be heard, you are not pleasing the Lord our God. But if you sing to the glory of God, if you say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die, if you will let God's righteousness and God's justice be your leader, you got to trust God with all that you got. You got to have more than a form or a fashion. God expects us to have the real true love. God expects us to love God with all of his heart. And the Lord God is telling us through the words of Amos that if you're not doing it with the right kind of motive, that God is not pleased. In other words, God is disgusted. God hates your praise. But I want to thank my God that I serve a mighty God. And I'm going to trust God with everything that I got. I know that in this old life of mine, I'm going to have good days and bad days. But old brother Peter tell me this morning that if a man suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed of what you got to go through. You can call me out of my name, but it don't make no difference. I am that I am. I am a child of the Almighty God. The Bible declared this morning that there's going to be a time of judgment. And if judgment starts at the house of God, what is going to happen right here in the house? If God is right here with us this morning, you got to ask the Lord our God. If the Lord plead with our praise, if God plead with the worship that we give, are we just going through the motion? You better let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If the Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, then where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So if we just going to hardly make it, those of us that said, I've been on the road for a mighty long time. Those that said, I've been running for the Lord for a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I want to know this morning, is there anybody in the house that want to please God? You got to please God. You got to give God your all in all. You got to know it's not about you, but it's all about the power of God. I want to know this morning, did you come to please God, or are you just satisfied in saying that I came to church? See, you got to do more than come to church. You ought to be a witness this morning that God got you up out of your bed, started you on another day's journey. If I have a witness in the house that you love God with your all in all, is there anybody here in Fowl's Chapel that didn't just come just to be seen, but you came to give God glory? You came to give God praise. Is God happy? Is God happy? Is God happy with the worship that we give? I come in to worship God. I leave out to serve God. But while I'm in the house of God, I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to give him thanksgiving. I'm going to say hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to say, Lord, I want to thank you. Anybody want to thank you? I want to thank my God for the Lord God being too good. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus, I just want to glorify my God's holy name. God expects us for more than a form or a fashion. God expects us to just stop going through the motions. Don't say yeah because I say yeah, but say yeah because they feel it down here. Don't say amen just to say amen. If you agree this morning that God is on your side, if you agree this morning that God will do what nobody else can do, how many of you know this morning that there's nothing too hard for God? How many in the house this morning got something that you laid on the altar and you're waiting on God to do it right now? He might not come when you want it. He might not come when you want him. He might not come when you want him. But he's always, 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 always on time. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! God expects more than a form or a fashion. Stop just coming in here going through the motions. Those words that Amos told the Israelites is true to us today. Don't just do it just to do it, but do it and mean it. Do it out of love. Do it out of devotion. Do it with sincerity. You see, everybody is not going to understand your worship and your praise. But it's not for them to understand. What you want to do is please your Maker. And if the Lord is pleased, then everything else is going to be all right.